Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Monday, May 20th. Today, we revisit Jason Blevins' conversation with Pat Milroy, a former professional snowboarder turned incredible artist. In this two-part conversation, Pat shares a tale of survival, adventure, and introspection from his journey across the treacherous Red Mountain Pass, offering a vivid account of facing nature's fury head-on. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun is partnering with multiple news outlets across the state to understand what is driving Coloradans this election year. What issues do you care about most as we head into the 2024 election? Let us know by filling out our survey at coloradosun.com/votervoices. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. William Gilpin was appointed Colorado's first governor in 1861, and on this day was warmly received in Denver with celebrations. A Delaware native and former U.S. Army officer, Gilpin had a profound impact on Western American development. He participated in key explorations and military campaigns, notably with John Fremont and during the Mexican War. Known for his vision of American expansion, Gilpin's efforts earned him the governorship, where he praised Colorado's potential and managed peaceful relations with Native Americans. However, his unauthorized defense expenditures during a Confederate threat led to his dismissal in 1862, despite those efforts being a success. Remaining active in politics and development, Gilpin died in 1894, leaving a legacy of growth and community integration in the Centennial State. Before we continue, join the Colorado Sun on June 25th as equity reporter Tatiana Flowers speaks with a panel about how they see mental illness falling through the cracks, what some solutions are or ways to address the issues, and more. The event is free and virtual. RSVP today at coloradosun.com/events. Now our feature story.
We're going to do something a little fun today, a little different. My very good friend, Pat Milroy, a pro snowboarder, former pro snowboarder, incredible artist, muralist. You've probably seen his murals all over Colorado. He has a story to tell. Coming from Red Mountain Pass, one of the more spicy drives you can have, definitely in Colorado. I would say anywhere in this country, maybe even anywhere in this world. Pat, tell us about your Red Mountain Pass story. This is going to be so fun.
Jason, I am very, very honored. And also thank you so much for the kind intro. My first reaction is like, thanks, you know, first and foremost, as a friend to you, it means a ton to be here, but also, I've always been a big fan of you and your writing and, you know, your journey, your approach to journalism, and, also just being an incredible father that has always inspired me as who you are as a person. So thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to just say, to everyone, to start this off, just be super grateful every day to be alive. I'm extremely, extremely, extremely thankful to be here right now. And I probably should not have been here right now. So I would like to kind of start this off by telling the story and just kind of describing, walking you through what I experienced on my drive from the lakeside neighborhood of Denver, Colorado to Red Mountain Pass. As I was going to Silverton that day. And also just really, you know, kind of parallel this is like some metaphors of how to live, you know, and the importance of daily living and being in the moment, and also like living with purpose and passion. And so, you know, I would say to start this off, I have always been, as a snowboarder for a large majority of life, I've been beautifully addicted for over 30 years on my snowboard, and my snowboard's taken me around the world. So luckily, I have been very safe in a lot of situations. I try to always check my tires. I got my oil changed before I do any long trips. I have a very close relationship with my mechanic, so I really like to make sure my vehicle's in like good order, especially during midwinter storms. Yeah. So I'd say it's super important to like know your vehicle and also be extremely aware of like what you're doing with how you're traveling. I also don't like to wear flip-flops when I'm driving in the middle of winter. So I like to wear a couple layers in case something were to happen or in case I get into an emergency situation, which you never hope to be in, but you know, you get in. something I've learned a lot as I've gotten older as well is like fill my gas tank up before I go into a non-service area or a mountain pass like Red Mountain. Because if for some reason something would happen and you get stranded, at least you can have heat. If you can have, if your engine keeps working and you have some gas to kind of fuel you through like a survival situation, whether it's through the night or whatnot.
I like having a full tank of gas in those slippery roads too. Sometimes they can help you.
I just prepare like visually as a snowboarder. I've always learned like one of my biggest techniques of snowboarding has been visualization. And so visualizing something before you go into it is also so key and so important. And it really helps mentally prepare you, like walks you through what you're trying to do and your breath, right? And so I think, you know, every day of our lives, we have the choice to wake up and be stressed. We have a choice to wake up and kind of take a breath and be grateful for what we have. And do something for yourself that you can start your day out that is healthy and also will provide you a better energy to have to be around everyone every day and have a clearer, like kind of more present focus. And so I did that morning, you know, and we have a collection of products that we've been developing that is actually really interesting. That it's called the Open Hearts Collection. That practice has really helped me every day because it's even at that like 20-second, 30-second reminder, it kind of speaks to your conscious. And then your subconscious just kind of like filters it and then starts pushing it forward on your journey. So you don't get behind your vehicle stressed out or mad or angry. And you can keep kind of some of that stress off the road. So you're keeping the other drivers safer as well.
We're climbing out of you, Ray.
I had a first like kind of gut check. I was like driving into Ray through Ridgeway, and it was really windy. I mean, if you can recall anyone over this past month, we had high winds and really high winds and a ton of blowing snow mixed with falling snow. So I was driving through Ridgeway and it was probably 70. It was crosswinds right there on that highway, and it's probably 65, 70 mile an hour. So between the snow and the blowing winds, I was being very aware. I was driving a little slower than normal. I was being a little bit more patient with myself and also like kind of going through my mental checklist going into Ouray. But what the nice part about Ouray is like it's kind of valleyed in there, right? So it's not near. It's like it's a lower elevation. And so you get into Ouray and you kind of like have a moment to gather yourself. You take some deep breaths and you're like, all right, like if you've ever been up Red Mountain Pass, you know it's a damn journey. So it's like, here we go. And I looked at the pass. It was open. Everything was clean. Actually, was pulling out of Ouray, stopped once in the road just to check the snowpack. Nope, not bad. No bad snowpack, no bad ice, whatever. I had my four-wheel drive on, listening to some like really good music that I was like tapped into as well with driving, and was just kind of like feeling in my flow state, right? And no winds at all. Like it was snowing, but it was nothing crazy. It was getting dark. And I was going a little I've been traveling like under the speed limit the whole way, just kind of be cautious and safe. I stopped again another like 2 miles up just to check it out, check out the road conditions. They were very, they're chill, nothing too crazy, nothing too icy, you know, all that. And so when you first make in that drive, like it's a 2-lane highway, you have anywhere between on one side of the road, on the inside of the road, there's like the cliff bands, rocks that are range from maybe 10 to like 250 feet right next to the road. On the other side of the road is a sheer drop. There's no guardrails. Nope. Literally, and there's parts of this road that like there's not even a shoulder, but the white line on the edge of the highway is literally on the edge of the pavement. So there's no risk for air. And you're talking anywhere the range of 500 foot drop, like 10%, 20% cliff bands to like thousands of feet. So it's pretty dicey.
I have done that drive with my door open and my finger under my dog's collar ready to bail before. If I lost a tire, I was just going to, I'm out.
I don't blame you. I actually had that thought of like not strapping my seatbelt on in case I needed to bail.
Yeah.
Because I have a story at the end of this to talk about how I was told about four people in a vehicle bailing before they went off the road. So I don't blame you, Jay. And like, I've heard numerous stories that of cars going off that road and just disappearing and them not finding the car or the driver until like early summer, like late spring, like June. And so that's actually been kind of a commonality at Red Mountain Pass. So I was just taking it easy. So I was driving up and driving under the speed limit, do very safe, very hyper aware, extremely safe. And it wasn't windy at all, which was amazing going from Ridgeway and climbing up the pass. I get through both the avalanche tunnels because there's two of them on the way up. And then I'm starting to climb the pass and the wind starts picking up pretty good. And I'm like, all right, like now we're going to slow down, maybe going like 7-8 miles an hour, you know, probably 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. And I'm feeling good. I mean, I'm a pretty damn experienced driver. I've driven like trucks and trailers, toured across the country with snowboarding for over 15 years. So I feel pretty confident with my skills, but also I was driving a Toyota 4Runner that was has great traction and like really good stability. And so driving up and then catching a little wind, and then, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, like we need to chill a little bit. Let's slow down a little bit. I'm slowing down. And I come around this curve and there is just the craziest wind gust that I've experienced yet on this drive. And it's coming like straight at me and with blowing snow. And it's dark. There's no lights on the path. There's no cell service. There's no lights. There's no guardrails. So the gust hits me. The snow blinds me. I have both hands on my wheel. I don't want to slam on my brakes because the chance of sliding is always like the number one thing you can do. And then you're like completely out of control. So I choose to kind of just like slow down and just like I'm taking my foot off the gas and just kind of like patiently like veer, because I think this turn isn't that, you know, I don't know what the turn is because I can't see anything. And I'm like, I'm in a position of like being white roomed as if you're a skier or snowboarder. You rip a powder slash and you're like caught in the snow, the after bang of the snow, or you're a surfer in the barrel and you just like, you're like white roomed, right? And so I'm sitting there like, okay, don't panic. Okay, don't panic. Okay, don't panic. But as I'm veering my wheel to kind of hope I'm staying on the road, I feel my left tire going off the road.
Oh.
And so I veer a little bit harder. I don't jerk the wheel, but I veer a little bit harder. And my gut like instantly goes from like my heart down to like below my belly button, right? And I'm like, my gut is just like, oh no. And the snow clears from my windshield because the gust kind of like is following the contour of the mountain and the curve. And I'm further enough away because I'm already past the oncoming lane of traffic. And I feel my car going off the road. I try to stay on the road and I can feel both of my left of my driver's side tires like basically teetering like off of the edge of the road. And so I thought to myself, when this is extremely split second, you're going to roll. And as everyone knows about rolling a car, you're completely out of control. And chances are that thing is going to smash something in your driver's side. And your chances of surviving or living or getting concussed or going unconscious and being caught on a mountain pass are extremely high. So I split second, the snowboarder instinct in me kicks in as if I was like on a cliff or an avalanche and the slide is about to take you down a slope. And I take my wheels and I just decide to drop in. So I jerk my wheels as hard as I can back the other way. And it literally drops me in on about a 30 degree pitch. So I like air off that side of the road. Oh. And luckily, by the momentum of how I jerked my steering wheel, I land as if I'm like dropping in on a cliff on my car about 10, 15 feet below there. Super fast. It was like, I just bounce. I hit a tree. I just smash into a tree and it misses my driver's side main door where I'm by about 3 inches. And so it smashes in, breaks the glass out of the window behind me, smashes in my roof. Impact hits me and I kind of like, I hold on, luckily being able to hold on to my wheel, but it like jerks me and I bounce off that tree. Like the whole car bounces off the tree. And it like gets tossed like probably another like 12 feet down below and into this like And I luckily, I'm like, it just reverts my direction. So I'm still driving. And so it kicks, like, it hits me, bounces me back, almost like I'm doing like a heel edge powder slash. It's like 6 feet of snow, if not more. Now we're probably on like a 40 degree slope. So I'm like literally just like bouncing down the mountain. And in the middle of that, that turn, I smash into another tree on my, the tail of my car on the opposite side, and it, boom, impacts me. It pushes me the other direction. But the snow is so deep, it comes up over my windshield. I cannot see a thing. It's dark outside. I cannot see. I'm just like literally holding on for my life. But I brace myself. I kind of like clench my arms and take my knees away from my like my dash and just try to like stay as tight as possible in case I need to like ball up. And because if I smash into something, and I keep getting pinballed, and I'm probably about 150 feet down off the road now, traveling faster, three times as fast as I was on the road. I'm probably going like 30 plus miles an hour down this mountain pass. And I get caught in between this highway, this little like weird highway of trees, and they're almost like bowling pins, and they keep bouncing me back and forth. Boom, boom. They're impacting the side of the car. I'm just like holding on. Finally, the snow comes off my windshield. I can see again. And I'm just like, oh God, I don't even want to see, because it seems like I'm like in a Hollywood movie thriller or something like that. But I still can't believe I'm driving down off of a mountain. And so I just hold on. I try pumping my brakes. I can't. They're not really doing anything. And I see like two big trees in front of me, probably 100 feet away. And I'm like, all right, just aim for these trees, dude. You need to stop this car. Like, whatever you need to do, you need to stop this car. If you need to smash into the trees, whatever. Like, it looks as if there's like a cliff or something underneath those things, but it's pitch dark and I can only see maybe like 10 feet in front of me. And so there's just trees and powder and stumps and like all this stuff underneath me and rocks. And so I just aim, I kind of like veer the car to the right as best I can. And I was freaking cruising. And they came a lot quicker than I thought. And I just pumping the brakes. And I just, boom, slam into these two trees. It stops me. My heat stays on. My car stays on. There's broken glass everywhere. I have three windows smashed out of my car. I have my phone was connected to YouTube or a Bluetooth or something. My phone bounced like down to my driver's side, like below the front seat. Everything in my car is just like everywhere. My water bottle, everything's tossed. So grateful my dog was in there, because she travels a lot with me when I'm doing these type of trips and adventures. So grateful no one else was with me at that time. But my phone immediately goes, SOS, like, have you been in an accident? I'm like, where is this damn phone? And I can hear it like trying to talk to me. And I'm like, try not to panic, but I'm like, I take a deep breath. And I'm like, all right, find this phone, dude. Like, you know, Red Mountain Pass, there's no service here, and we need satellite like connection. So I like undo my seatbelt, kind of like pinch myself. I'm kind of like, oh my God, I'm alive. And like, holy crap, like my arms are good. I like flex my knees, like stretch my back. I'm like, all right, I'm okay. And then I reach down into the driver's side or the passenger side, find my phone, click accept access, send the signal. It says like, you know, notified emergency contact, whatnot. And so I kind of just sit there and take a breath, and it's pitch dark outside, and my car, my heat's on, my lights are on, I'm alive. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, how did this just happen?
Where were your lights pointing? Were they pointing back up the hill or downhill?
Downhill.
That's key to have your lights on, so that anybody else coming along that pass can see you.
You just nailed it. And I tell myself, I whisper inside my head, look up at the sky and like, thank your mom, thank your angels. Yeah. Like, right now, take a moment. As much as you want to panic, take a moment to just be hyper aware of how like grateful you are to be alive. And I did. And I thought about like everything that really mattered to me in my life. I thought about why I was there that day, and I was going to paint. I was going because I do a lot of work and I donate my art. I donate my passion, but also because I've been able to make it as a snowboarder and an artist in my life, I try to share that with others. And I was going down to Silverton that day to get ready to start painting a live piece of art to donate to SOS Outreach for their 30th anniversary of spreading their love across the country and the world. But I also was going down there to really engage with like the importance of how being a better version and servicing others is what really what life's about, in the sense of like the service element, the mentoring, the like, when you get an opportunity to do something in life, how can you share that with like the younger generation? And how can we together build a better, more inclusive, but also like loving community of understanding like how important it is to have you support and like good people and like great energy around you in life. And so I kind of immediately was like, all right, you're grateful, you're thankful. Here we are. Get into survival mode.
Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A century-old irrigation system in far northwestern Colorado has new life after water leaders this spring invested nearly $7 million into the Maybell Ditch. The project brought together unlikely bedfellows, recreation, agriculture, and environmental groups. They say this type of partnership is the path forward as Colorado and other western states grapple with a hotter future in the Colorado River Basin. The ditch is the largest agricultural diverter on the Yampa River. Colorado Sun water reporter Shannon Mullane went on a tour of the area to see and talk with those involved in getting the work to the finish line. The outdoor industry in Colorado generates nearly $62 billion each year, and now it will be celebrated in the inaugural Outside Festival in downtown Denver. The three-day event starts Friday and will include film screenings, concerts, action sports contests, and hands-on participation opportunities. There will be climbing walls, camping zones, and e-bike tracks as the state takes its first step in creating an immersive event for consumers and industry insiders. Speakers, from Olympic and X Games snowboarder Sean White to Oscar award-winning filmmaker Jimmy Chin, will discuss everything from never giving up to mentorship in the outdoors. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
I'm Lauren Wynot, Director of Membership at the Colorado Sun. I came to work at the Sun because quality, trustworthy journalism is important. As a reader and listener, I find the Sun to be a breath of fresh air. The journalists tell Colorado stories that keep me informed, entertained, and engaged. If you also trust the Sun for your news, join me as a member at coloradosun.com/join. Your support helps to bring you and other Coloradans the news you deserve. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you.